Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Brew It or Screw It, a Commander deck building podcast. I am your host, Cody, alongside my really good friend, Laz.
Hello.
How you doing, Laz?
I'm doing all right. How you doing, man?
Doing pretty good. You just called me a cheater, so let's talk about that off the rip.
Oh, really? You want everyone that listens to know that you're a cheater in
Magic?
Yeah,
I'd love to they're never hear play with you. What you think I did last night in our game that you consider cheating.
So there I was.
Barbecue sauce.
Killed one potatoes. Player.
You ever heard that saying? Oh, okay. Sorry. No. It's a vine. Sorry. All right. There's like the youth out there know what I'm talking about.
The yeah. Vine? Didn't Vine like go out of business ago. Like 10 yeah. years ago? All right. The youth is like 25 now. Anyway. Kill player one. Real nice up in a bow. Next turn around, I'm able to kill the next player and Cody at the same time. I kill the one player. I swing lethal at Cody. Throws down a selfless savior.
Selfless squire. Just, please put some respect
oh, selfless,
on his name.
Sorry, selfless squire. Flashes it in. Plays selfless squire. Blocks all the combat damage. Gets an ass ton of counters. What, 17 yeah. counters? All my crap is now sideways. Can't block. You plopped down a bunch of creatures, haste, double strike,
trample.
And you cheated to get the win.
I don't think I cheated. I think I played very smart because everyone else was a threat but me, and I snuck out a win in the end.
I don't think it was very smart because it beat me. And, you know, I felt like you cheated. I felt
so,
cheated. Does that count?
Okay, you know what? I apologize cheated. For cheating you out that win. You were putting in a lot there of work. It was like probably four turns earlier that I was like, I've got to hold on to this squire for like when I'm going to get hit for lethal, because everyone, like we were playing, you were playing Giada Angels. We had an Arabo Cats that was getting big, doing lifelink. And then Nick was playing Miram, Sentinel Worm. And so he was swinging with flyers. So I was like, I need to like just be prepared. I honestly thought
so you were playing, playing
the Shield Maiden. My humans tribal deck that I built.
One of your five Lord of the Rings decks.
Like, that Laz hates so much. and so like, yeah, like four turns earlier, I was like, I need to hold on to this because either you're going to swing at me and kill me because you killed me in the game prior because I had nothing going on that game.
Woop, woop.
Nick was going to swing dragons at me and kill me. Like, I was like, I need to hold on to this and get a bunch of counters and get at least one big creature on the board. And I just wasn't the threat, so I stayed in my lane, did my things, and it worked out in the end.
I wouldn't say it worked out in the end. The game definitely ended, yeah. But, you know.
It was a weird game.
A friendship was tarnished.
Our friendship was tarnished. You killed me the game before.
It was a good game.
Giant 2020 Grismold, so.
Grismold, yeah, I hit you. It was commander damage all
yeah,
in one hit there.
My land base and this knight's deck I have is not too hot, so.
Was that another Lord of the Rings
no,
deck
that was,
you played before that?
Sadar Jabari. The
okay. Oh, the deck you stole
yeah,
from me.
Yeah, might be giving it to you. Let me tell you.
You don't want
I was
anymore.
Looking over my actual decks that I can play because I haven't scrounged cards for them, and I literally have, I think, four decks at the current moment that aren't missing cards that I've been pulling to put into other decks, so. It's mm-hmm. just like, I need to sit down and get like a good stable again, because I, for a long time, had a decent amount, and now I'm just down to four.
Oh, I remember when I first started making decks and all this stuff, it got to the point where I would go to play a deck, and then halfway through, I would get to a card that was a sleeved post-it
yeah.
note that said, like, I owe you one Avacyn. Like, all my cards. I'm like, all right, and this is before we were playing on Spell Table. Was this before Spell Table? When we used to play on just like regular webcams.
Oh, wow.
It was rough. And so I'm like I don't remember exactly all the text on Avacyn, so if you guys don't mind, let me go find that real quick.
That's funny.
After a while, it got to the point where I was like, all right, I'm just going to start buying some Korean Avacyns so I can
at least have something.
So
yeah.
I can have them, you know. Now with Spell Table, it's easier because I just click on it anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, it got to a point where I had all these decks just spread around. I'm like, I don't think any of these are actually complete decks right now.
There's a spider currently swinging in front of your camera, and I am terrified.
As I just throw it up behind me.
That noise, man.
Little guy. What?
No, I hate spiders so much. You know this. I literally almost threw up like brewing a Shelob deck because I was like, these are just too creepy to look at. I can't do it.
Oh, my wife's terrified of spiders, and now my daughter's terrified of spiders. So I am the one that has to go in there and take care of them.
I can't do them. I've gotten better. Like I'm able to like kill them if I need to, but like one was crawling on my boss the other day. He went out into the warehouse and came back, and it was on his shoulder, just like hanging out. And I was like, "Hey, man, there's a spider on your shoulder. I'm gonna start running." It was so creepy.
Well, what's not creepy is this deck that you brewed this month.
That was a terrible segue.
You had a bad segue last time. I'll have a bad segue this time.
I was
going to
segue from the whole, I only got four decks, so why don't we brew a new one? Ayo. No, that was good.
Time has passed for that segue. I think mine will work. We'll fix it in post. Yeah, how about
that? We'll do that. We will not fix that in post. Before we get to that, though, we have a little bit of housekeeping. If you stick around to the end of the show, we're going to be talking about a giveaway featuring a certain Commander's Master product. If you're ever interested in one of those, hang out to the end. We'll talk about that.
Yes, we will be talking about details of giving away which deck and how to get it. So listen till the end in case you feel like skipping around. Yeah. I understand, unless you don't want to hear people talk about spiders and cheating magic players. All right, well, Cody, tell them why we're here this month.
Yeah, so it's my turn for a Brew It or Screw It. So we're going to talk about my deck that I brewed for this month, which is titled The Hell That Hungers. I was Googling good quotes about like demons and devils and all that, and I came across one, and it was like, I think it was a demon talking, and it was like, "I am the hell that hungers." And I was like, that's a badass fucking line right there. And so, yeah, this is Raphael the Fiendish Savior. This is from, I think, a Forgotten Realms set. It's from the Commander precon from that set, I believe. And it's a three generic black red legendary creature, Devil Noble with flying. It says, other demons, devils, imps, and tieflings you control get +1/+1 and have lifelink. It also has, at the beginning of each end step, if a creature card was put into your graveyard from anywhere this turn, create a 1/1 red devil creature token with, when this creature dies, it deals 1 damage to any target. It's a 4/4. That is a lot of text, and we don't really care about that text. Bottom part. We are mainly here for the demon, devils, imps, and tieflings themed deck.
And barely that.
But a little bit of backstory. So a long time ago, I went on to the good old Moxfield and pulled a deck for Silvala. It was a CDH deck, and I bought it and I played it against Laz, Nick, and Alan, and felt terrible. So I turned around and I bought a Rakdos Precon. It was from the Innistrad set.
Well, hold on. Felt terrible because this was like your third week playing Magic, and you're like, yeah, I built this new deck, and then proceeds to go infinite, like turn four, just infinite mana, infinite card draw, infinite counters. Yeah. And then just went infinite turn four or five and just, you know, won the game. And we're like, why'd you build this deck? Like, I don't know. It was cheap, so I didn't think it was going to be good.
Yeah, it was like $50. I was like, oh, okay. I bought a Rakdos Vampire deck. I forget who the commander of it was, but I liked it.
Oh, that was the terrible one.
It wasn't the good, yeah. It was Blood Token
one from Crimson Vow. Was it that one from Crimson Vow?
And the Blood Token aspect of it?
Florian?
I don't think it was Florian. I think it was Stefan something Progenitor. I can't remember. Yeah. And I didn't like the Blood Token aspect of it, but I did like, it felt fast. Like, it felt like aggro, like, and like, I was like, oh, that's kind of what Rakdos is about. It's about like hitting the ground running, hitting people, doing cool stuff. So I've kind of had that, hey, I want to build a Rakdos deck for a while. And then we fast forward to a few months ago, and I was teaching some people how to play Magic. I bought the pre-cons from last year, the little $20 ones that they came out with. And Carter Doomscourge was one of the commanders. And holy crap, is that deck rule. But I didn't like every Carter Doomscourge deck is about like flickering in Carter to constantly goad stuff. And like, I like goading, don't get me wrong, fun mechanic. But it didn't really fit what I wanted to do at the time. And so fast forward again to about 2 weeks ago. And I saw someone playing a Raphael Fiendish Savior deck. And I was like, that seems really fun. Because having flying creatures with lifelink just hitting people. And then Rakdos is also really good for like sacrificing life and doing things like that. So I was like, yeah, I'm into this. And so that's how we got here to this deck.
Okay. It's you sent this over to me, and it was you said you're like, oh, I'm gonna try to do a little bit of a tribal theme with a little bit of, you know, just a aristocrats type thing. And you know, going through the deck, it was, as we were going through it, you know, it kind of got to the point where we had some problems going through and finding tribal support for all four. And then we're like, you know, we were texting about it a little bit earlier in the week. It's like, it's kind of hard to just go full tribal with it because there's four different tribes that you're trying to do. So we discussed it and kind of went our separate ways to see what we could make with the deck. And it's where we are now. So that's why you brewed your deck. So how does it win? What's your game plan? Because this isn't a commander, for the most part, that is pinging people. So, you know, what kind of support did you put in here? Or how were you hoping? Were you hoping just to win with big flying lifelink creatures or all of the above?
Yeah, mainly the, you know, big flying life, because a lot of demons fly. You know, there's the Rakdos, the Showstopper, has Trample. And then giving lifelink, so, like, it kind of gives you that cushion where, like, hey, I'm hitting, and I'm at least getting, like, 7 life back every time I hit somebody, things like that. There is an alternate win con in Liliana's Contract. This is 3 colorless, black for an enchantment. It says, when it enters the battlefield, you draw 4 cards and lose 4 life. And at the beginning of your upkeep, if you control 4 more demons with different names, you win the game. And so, like, I had been looking at demon theme decks for a while. I had, like, kind of thought about doing Kirik because he can, you know, you pay life to be able to play them, things like that. There was a new Grixis one from Warhammer 40K. And so, like, when I saw Raphael, I'm like, oh, hey, lifelink +1/+1. And, like, it kind of gives a little bit more than demons with the imps and devils and tieflings. That's kind of cool. So that kind of... The main two ways is either have Liliana's Contract come down and hopefully it survives, go around and I have 4 different demons, or just kind of win through combat with giant flying demons.
Yeah, and that's, you know, is no secret that I love Angel's decks for kind of the same reason of big flying creatures with lifelink. And this kind of does the same type of thing, you know, where you have these huge creatures that you're, as soon as you get 2 or 3 demons on the board, you're immediately going to be the threat just because they are so big and you're going to want to be swinging them around. So at least it is nice that they do get that lifelink. So, you know, because you're going to be the focus, you're going to be the target. Yeah. So at least it's nice where, hey, I'll swing these 3 creatures and leave myself open, and it's okay because I'm going to get 22 life, you know, back from dealing damage with it. So it's kind of, it was nice to have a little bit of the freedom there with some of these cards where you're like, all right, well, it's kind of risky to pay life to do this, or there's an X cost in the casting cost that's life. And it's like, well, this deck, it's not really a life link deck. It's not like a life gain deck. So I didn't have to worry about making sure you had an insane amount of life, but it is nice to have that little bit of a cushion, like you were saying, of just, I know I'm going to begin hit a lot. So at least I'll be able to regain more than what I'm getting hit for, hopefully, and be able to use use life as an extra resource, you know, not enough where you can get an Aether Flux Reservoir, which I was really tempted to put in here, but I was like, you're never going to have more than 50 life to, you know, to be spending on stuff. So you couldn't go full life game, but it is nice to just have that little bit of a cushion, you know, where you're not afraid to get down into the 15, you know, into the teens and 20s, because you're going to bounce right back up.
Yeah, you plop down your commander and suddenly all your demons you already had on the field are hidden and getting you a bunch of life back.
And they're bigger, too.
So, yeah, like we're talking about, so, like, I think the biggest issue with Raphael is that he is support for four different tribes or types. And at the end of the day, demons is the main one. But you don't want to throw in, like, Secluded Courtyard, which is like, hey, tap, name a creature, taps for colors, or taps for a color. Because, you know, well, hey, I can't use it to pay for a tiefling, or I can't make it pay for a devil or an imp. There are no imps in the deck, because there are not really that many good imps.
Imps suck.
And then the devils are kind of really hit and miss. Like, there's not that many good ones. I'd say there's maybe two, in my opinion. And that would be Zerzoth the Chaos Rider and Witty Roastmaster. Let me just double check that one. Oh, Pain Distributor is actually a pretty decent one. It's actually really new. So whenever a player casts their first spell each turn, they create a treasure token. Whenever an artifact or an opponent controls is put into a graveyard, Pain Distributor deals one damage to that player. You know, it gets me treasure. It does give the enemies treasure, but at least I'm pinging them when they crack it eventually. Things like that.
Well, because you sent me this deck, and you're like, oh, I'm trying to do like a little bit of a tribal thing. And so I look, and there's 29 creatures in it. 19 of them are demons. Yeah. 8 are devils. 2 are tieflings. And 0 imps. So I was like, this is...
Yeah.
this commander. I'm like, he must have, you know, he must have missed something somewhere. So I went, you know, I went, and I was looking at similar commanders. I was looking at other decks that kind of run... you know, different commanders entirely, but just tribe, you know, with these tribes, devil, tiefling, imp tribes. And man, there ain't that much out there. You kind of gleaned the good ones you could. So
yeah,
kind of had to make some hard choices.
yeah. So like, I think the conversation we had was, well, hey, do we just go full demon with like, just keep the good of the other ones, but like mainly focus on demons. And if that is like the route we end up going, there's a lot more support that we can throw in this deck, which we'll talk about in your cuts and adds. But like, I think the land base gets a little cheaper in that respect, because then we can, you know, lean into those typal lands that they have, like Secluded Courtyard, Path of Ancestry, things like that. So yeah, a couple cards I just want to throw out there and talk about. So like, I had given you a couple cards and I was like, hey, just letting you know, these are like pet cards. They're not the best, but fuck, do I like them. So first up,
I forgot about that text. I probably cut them.
Oh, you did. It's fine. first up, we have Fire Covenant. This is one generic black red for an instant. It says Fire Covenant deals X damage divided any way you choose among any number of target creatures, where X is equal to the amount of life you pay, and it just says effects that prevent or to redirect damage cannot be used to counter this loss of life. So the whole idea with this card is like, I got the lifelink, swinging in, hitting stuff. I can turn around and use that to like get rid of a couple big things on the board, or just, even if there's just a problem card on the board, it's a creature, turn around and get rid of it like that. I forget someone on Twitter talked about this card. It was like, more people should play this card. And it's really card. Cool.
Especially in this deck where you have that extra life to play with. And this is one of the cards that, you know, I kept it in, spoiler alert, just because, you know, I did like it. And like I was saying before, it's kind of it's one of those cards that let you use a little bit of the extra life that you will be gaining. You know, that's not necessarily going to be enough to do big, crazy, you know, splashy things, but this is enough where you can pay, you know, a bunch of life realistically if you want, because say you had a real good turn where, all your creatures went through for big damage, nothing died, so you're gonna have them back. And it's like, all right, well, I just got 30 life unexpectedly. Let's make some noise. Yeah. So, no, I really liked this card.
Yeah, it's just really, really cool. I get a lot. Next up, we have a creature in Carter Doomscourge. This is the like original guy. I was like, I kind of want to build a Rakdos deck based around him. This is 2 generic, a black and a red for Demon Berserker. When he ETBs until next turn, creatures your opponents control attack each combat of Abel, and they attack a player other than you. Just gets goated. Whenever an attacking creature dies, each opponent loses 1 life and you gain 1 life. It's a cool card. Like, love the art on him. Just like I said, I didn't like the idea of just like the whole point of decks usually playing him as a commander is about like flickering him or like, you know, getting him into back into your hand to play him again to constantly keep the goat up and take advantage of the whole like when attacking creatures die thing. But yeah, I like this card a lot. And so I threw him in because he's a Demon Berserker. So he gets that lifelink, gets that +1/+1.
Yeah, he stayed in too. I honored your wishes with that one. Unintentionally.
And the last pet card I had was Descent into Avernus, because I've always wanted to play this in a deck because it just sounds so cool, and I feel like it would make games like, which I know we talked about, like, don't want games to like, I want to slow down my play style, but I think games can still go quicker at times. And so this is one of those cards. It is 2 colorless and a red for an enchantment that says at the beginning of your upkeep, put 2 descent counters on Descent into Avernus. Then each player creates X register tokens, and Descent into Avernus deals X damage to each player, where X is the number of descent counters on Descent into Avernus. So, demons, a lot of big spell costs, so these treasures help me out. It also speeds the game up, because each turn, now everyone's losing a big chunk of life, and so, you know, more treasures, games go quicker, we get up to the next one. Because some people think Commander games should last 3 hours, and that's insane.
Yeah, yeah, you were mentioning that you got stuck in a couple of long ones, a couple of long ones the past week or two. So, no, I shoot for, man, I love the shot by me because I do 60 minutes. And after 60 minutes, as soon as that clock goes, then it goes to turns. Everyone gets one more turn around the board. But, are there, like, you know, our game's usually 90 minutes or less. I'm fine with that. But yeah, I agree with not necessarily putting, you know, infinite combos into your deck or, you know, these crazy broken things, which is kind of, you know, a little something that
speeds it up,
is going to be ticking down life. Because even our game that we played the other night got to the point where there was just 2 players left. And one was gaining life, and the other was just making creatures. And no matter what happened, it was like, all right, I'm going to swing. You're going to take a bunch of damage. Then your upkeep, you're going to gain a bunch of that life back, play a bunch of creatures. Then the next turn went, and it was just, it got to the point where, you know, the 2 players both just kind of decided to scoop and call it a draw, because otherwise it was just going to be, you know, another 20, 30 minutes of nonsense.
Yeah.
So I like having something like this in there where you're able to just kind of, yeah, the clock has started. You know, someone's going to lose sooner rather than later when something like that's out there. So I liked it. I liked Descent into Avernus. Yeah. We'll say Avernus.
Those D&D cards. Love them so much. As you know, Raphael's from there, Descent into Avernus. And there's a couple other ones in here that I threw in there, like Zariel, Archduke of Avernus, Legendary Planeswalker, 2 colorless, red. Can either give yourself haste, it can make a devil, which is going to get +1/+1 on lifelink, or you can get your
it's all about that
emblem where it says at the end of the first combat phase, untap target creatures you control. There's an additional combat phase after this. So
just an emblem of
2
attacks.
Really good.
Yeah, you have 2 attacks phases.
Giant
awesome.
Flying lifelink demons. Just a couple other cool cards I wanted to shout out. One that actually you played that I saw him, was like, this is so cool, and because it's a tiefling, it makes sense to put it in this deck. It's Elturel Survivors. It's 3 colors and a red. Trample Myriad. When it attacks, it gets +X/+0, where X is the number of lands defending players control. We play a lot of people with green in their decks who ramp really hard, so this is always going to get some kind of value. On top of the fact it has trample, if Raphael's on the board, has lifelink, And Myriad, it has Myriad. So at least three of them are going somewhere. That is a lot of life game out of nowhere. That's really strong.
Yeah, well, because it is a tiefling, yeah. So it's just, it's going to get crazy lifelink. You know, it's four mana, so assume by the time you get this out that, say you get it out early, everyone's probably still going to have five lands or six lands, depending on how the game's going. So it's like, all right, you know, you swing that out, it's got trample, you might come away with, 18 life, something like that, depending on how the board goes and if people are blocking or not. So, yeah, I really like that. So once again, it's life link that you're getting, but not enough to do something huge with the amount of life, but it's nice, because you got those Fire Covenant cards and you have stuff like that where you have the option of putting, life into the casting cost. And sure, you just got an extra 15 life from somewhere. Might as well throw that 15 life into someone's face.
Yeah, very good. Next up, we got the Great Unclean One. This is from the Warhammer set. It's a 4 colors and a black. At the beginning of your end step, each opponent loses 2 life, and then for each opponent who has less life than you, create a 1/3 black demon creature token named Plaguebearer of Nurgle. Even if you're getting one token off of this, it now is a 2/4 with lifelink. It's an extra blocker you get. Things like that. I like this card. I saw this card played against me, and the guy made 3 different tokens, and it was just like, holy shit, because he plopped it down while he was still ahead. And with the fact that we have lifelink, we're most likely going to be ahead. So, like that one a lot.
Yeah, definitely very nice.
Like, so
far, I'm so glad. So far, you haven't mentioned a card that I cut, so I'm like, I'm very happy.
Next up, we have Too Greedily, Too Deep. This is from the Lord of the Rings set and wins the award for dirtiest sounding card ever. It's a costly one, but it's 5 generic black red for a sorcery that says put target creature card from a graveyard onto the battlefield under your control. That creature deals damage equal to its power to each other creature. We have a lot of big fucking scary demons. Obviously, the flavor win here is to cycle the Balrog of Moria and then bring it back out with this card and deal 8 damage to everything and have a giant Trample Haste lifelink 9/9 swinging at people. That's kind of my goal with it.
Yeah. No, it's I thought that was definitely a very cool card, and I kept a lot of the Graveyard Recursion in this deck because I assume that you're going to be throwing these creatures out as willy-nilly as possible, so you're probably going to lose a lot of them. And even if you're blocking, you're still gaining that life, and there's multiple ways to get those creatures from the graveyard back to your hand, and even a lot of ways to get from the graveyard back to the battlefield in here, too. So I think that's going to be kind of nice to be able to deal some damage, gain some life, kill some creatures, and then not really have as much of a risk as some of the other decks because there's so much graveyard recursion in here. So I like that.
Yeah. Red has a lot of like Faithless Looting, draw 2, discard 2, draw possibilities, discard a card, draw 2, things like that. So I was like, I'm running the risk of getting Bajuka Bog and stuff like that. But if it's a big creature stays in there long enough, I get to bring it back out. So pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know we've looked at other decks where it's kind of like a Bajuku Bog just ruins your day. And at least with this, I feel like you'd still be able to kind of recover from it because there's enough big creatures going around and you do have the chance to be pulling these guys out of your graveyard too. So hopefully, you don't get stuck with 20 of your 29 creatures, sitting in the graveyard and then getting exiled. So
for sure.
That's a good card.
Next up, we got Hurl Through Hell. This is 2 generic, a black and a red for an instant that says exile target creature until end of your next turn. You can cast that card and you may spend mana as though it were mana of any color to cast that spell. Just a kind of a nice like, oh, hey, you have a giant creature. Let's go on. And now it's mine. I like that. I like that. I think it's cool. The name sounds awesome. The card art's sick.
It fits it's a flavor win for sure. So that's always very nice.
I was wondering if that one made the cut.
Solid cards.
Because that one's
that one did That one did make the cut. Don't worry.
Last card I'll talk about is, so like I said, we got a lot of big creature mana spells with these demons. Got to try to find ways to kind of make them cheaper. And so next up, I have an enchantment. It is Heartless Summoning, one generic and a black. For an enchantment, it says, creature spells you cast cost two less to cast, and then creatures you control get -1/-1. Idea here is it's making everything cheaper, and Raphael is giving the +1/+1, so it's kind of like a net zero. But everything's cheaper. And so I go from having to pay 5 mana for my commander to 3 and giving my stuff lifelink.
So I had cut this card, and then I had added it back in. Because I had cut this card because you did have a lot of creatures that were one cost, and you had a lot of tokens that were going to be, you know, one cost. I was like, it's going to be so dumb that, you know, some of these tokens, if your commander's not out there and this enchantment is, you're just going to be making, you know, dead snakes.
Yeah, we had a run another day where people were making dead snakes in their game.
Yeah, my Griswold deck. I was like, all right, you get the dead snake at the beginning of your turn. But, and I was like, oh, that's not going to help as much as, you know, I know the creatures are two less is nice, but I thought with all the tokens that you were trying to originally have in here, you had a bunch of cards that made 1/1 tokens, and I figured if it feels bad when you have that in your hand and your commander's not out there to give the +1/+1. But I kind of took this deck in a different theme, which we'll get into a little bit later, where I kind of just ended up making it mostly demon tribal. And so I put this back in there because with those demon tribals, you don't really have to worry about it. And I took out a lot of those small token generator cards and stuff like that because I figured some of these demons, man, your mana curve is off the charts. So
they're very high cost, know? For sure.
So I had to put a couple of cost reduction cards in there. So this one, it went back in because I was like, all right, you know, the 1/1 doesn't hurt as much now.
Yeah. And I think the thing with it's like Raphael makes the 1/1 devil, things like that. There's a Tobalt Rex, Shinskater makes a 1/1 devil. And there's a couple other cards that make like the 1/1 devils that like when they die, they deal 1 damage. And so like for them to die is okay because at least I'm pinging somebody, things like that. That's kind of where my thought process was. But yeah, overall, I like the deck currently. I do agree. I think it could take advantage of just being a full on demon deck with just one tiefling, like the Elturel Survivors, things like that. So I'm interested to see what cards you cut and what cards you add, because I agree with you that I think going demons here would be beneficial for just how the overall deck plays. Yeah.
Well, I feel bad because this deck is not an Aristocrats deck. There was one or two Aristocrat cards I felt, but a lot of the pinging people for 1 damage, I took some of those out, and I didn't really add too much more in there. And I felt bad because I know you said you wanted kind of tribal, kind of Aristocrats, and I felt like this deck kind of had to do one or the other. So then what I started doing is I started making a new commander deck for you. I was like, I wonder how much overlap there is if we do an Obnixilis Captive Kingpin? Yeah, Captive Kingpin, where whenever one or more opponents each lose exactly 1 life, put a 1/1 counter on Obnixilis, exile the top card of your library until your next end step, you may play that card. That's the demon commander you want if you want an Aristocrats deck, which, you know, even as I was going through this, I'm like, man, maybe I do that too, because for all those cards where creature dies, deal 1 damage to each opponent, like, all right, get a counter. All those cards that, you know, creature enters, 1 damage to each opponent, okay, that's more counters, and it's that'd be a fun way to kind of do an Aristocrats Voltron type deck, because your commander is just going to get enormous, I think, so. That's for another show. Maybe I'll do that one. But, you know, so I was kind of looking at that, but I was like, there's not as much overlap with these other demons and stuff as I would like. And it seems like most people online use Obnixilis as a treasure deck with thoughts of sacrificing treasures. And I was like, we're getting too far off the point. So I was like, all right, let's stick with Raphael, but I'm going to have to cut some of the lesser supported tribes.
Totally fair.
You know, because I was like, all right, let's. I even went on EDH Trek. I was like, all right, how many imp tribal decks are there? And I think there was eight. And so I'm like, all right, let me look at those. And they sucked. You know, it's just, there's not
good imps. Yeah, I literally sat on Scryfall. I was like, I typed in demons. I went through every demon. And I was like, okay, these are the ones I want. Typed in tieflings. I went through. And I was like, okay, these are the ones I want. Imps, don't want any of these. Devils, these are decent.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, they're not really there. And same thing with the tieflings. There are some good tieflings, but not enough that fit the theme. So like
two decent ones, in my opinion.
Yeah. And so I was like, all right, forget it. Let's go full demon. So that's kind of what I did. So you got more cards you want to talk about, or should we start getting into some of the cuts and adds here?
Let's just go over a couple. Like, you know, I got a Bloodthirster in here.
Absolutely.
It's a five generic and a red for a flying trample. When it deals combat damage, you untap it, and it gets a different combat phase for each person. So it's essentially a 7/7 flying trample lifelink if Raphael's on the board. And you're constantly just getting, once again, same thing as, what was that card we just talked about? The Elturel Survivors, where huge life gain out of nowhere can really just get you back into the game. So,
Cody, you built an extra turns deck, is what you built. There's so many cards in here that give extra combat. And I'm starting to notice that creeping into all the new decks that you're playing whenever we play online. You're slowly creeping into extra turn Cody here. So, hey, it's fine.
Oh,
it's
boy. Just,
man, there's a lot of extra combat steps here. I'm
currently looking over at a deck that has a lot of extra combat phases in it.
You're currently looking over at every deck you've made in the last 2 months?
No. I took apart Daru and Hazoret because it was just too fast and too broken. And instead, I'm making an Itali Primal Storm. The old Itali, not the new one. And the whole point is, so just, you know,
extra combats?
It's to get extra cards. I want to play people's cards, you know? Which I want everyone to see their own decks. That's all.
Ah, that's right? So nice of you. So giving.
Right?
So giving. So I noticed that, and I'm like, I should take these out just because I don't feel like playing against it.
But hey,
I was like, I'll leave them in.
I could be putting extra turns in my Gandalf deck. I did not. Just want to throw that out there.
That's fine. It's fine. You know what? Get your attacks in while can. Because when you have big creatures, board wipes are going to start flowing out. So get the damage while you
can. Another card that I saw and was like, yeah, I think this should just be a full-on demon deck is Herald of Slaanesh. This is two generic and a red for a demon that says demon spells you cast cost two less to cast and other demons you control have haste. And like, this is just a really good lord for demons. So I was like, this card was one of the ones I was like, I think this should just be a full-on demon deck so that it's not a dead card when I have these devils and tieflings on the board. Got Rakdos the Showstopper. I like the Rakdos cards. I've looked at almost a Rakdos, the one that's like, for however much damage everyone's taking this turn, it costs one less. So you just play like giant generic spells. This one says flying trample. When Rakdos enters the battlefield, flip a coin for each creature that isn't a demon, devil, or imp. Destroy each creature whose coin comes up tails. Effectively, just a board wipe for a lot of creatures.
A one-sided board wipe, which was very nice. I love the Rakdos Showstopper. I remember I saw, who was it? I think Rachel Weeks played one on the Command Zone. I think she played one too, and I was like, that's such a cool card. So
other than that, like,
I kept it in there.
Just a lot of like you know, the generic, got a Chaos Warp, Faithless Looting. I did have this card that I think it was just cool, and also kind of, we've been playing a lot of Diablo, so I was kind of, is in my head, Corpse Explosion. This is one generic, black red sorcery. It says an additional cost, exile a creature card from your graveyard. Corpse Explosion deals damage equal to that exiled card's power to each creature and each planeswalker.
Which is great if you have a card that you're willing to sacrifice in your own graveyard. You know, it's like, all right, you know, someone killed your big guy, like, you kind of wish you didn't do that in a second, you know. My problem with this deck is there's so many good cards for this deck, and they're all sorceries. I'm like, where are the instants? And it's just so many, you know, it got to the point where I had like 15 or 16 sorceries. I'm like, there's too many sorceries. And I had to start cutting them back and, you know, making some cuts. And I was like, that just sucks. But you had like cool cards. You had that in there. You had like Fatal Grudge in there.
I like the Fatal Grudge. I saw that one. And was like,
black and a red sorcery adds an additional cost to cast a spell, sacrifice a non-land permanent. Doesn't even have to be a creature, just any permanent. Each opponent chooses a permanent they control that shares a type of the sacrifice permanent and sacrifices it, and then you get to draw a card. So you get a little card draw, you get a little, you know, if someone's got one big creature out there and that's all they got, and you can, you know, get rid of one of your crappy little tieflings or devil tokens or something. And then, you know, make people sacrifice a creature, that's a good way. Or if you have, you know, one of your enchantments or artifacts, one of your stupid mana rocks that I cut a million of.
If Descent to Avernus is about to kill you, you just sacrifice it and get a card off it so everyone else has to sacrifice enchantments.
That's good stuff.
I finally found a deck I can play this really cool card in. Blood for the Blood God. 8 generic black red spell costs 1 less for cast for each creature that died this turn. You can discard your hand, draw 8 cards. It deals 8 damage to each opponent, and then you exile it. From the Warhammer set, just badass. I mean,
I just like the card. I like the name. I was like, it probably could have been cut. I'm not gonna lie, but I kept it in there just because I'm like, this is such a cool card. It kind of fits the Rakdos theme very well here. Yeah. So
if you get to play it once, that's enough, you know?
It's definitely one of those cards you play it once and you're like, all right, I'm glad I got to do that. Let's take it out now.
And I think that's one of the really cards I want to talk about. Just a lot of, you know, the generic Rakdos sorcery instance, all that. The demons you come to know and love, like Archfiend of Depravity, Desecration Demon, Harvester of Souls, a couple of the Obnixilises. Things like that. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Laz.
Yes.
Gotta hit me. What are we doing first? We're doing cuts or we're doing ads?
What did we do last time?
I think we usually start with cuts, you know? And then we usually go to the ads after.
Yeah. I feel like I wanna do the cuts first. Okay. So, start with the lands. Because I did cut a land. I replaced it, but this was a land that I felt the need to cut just because I could see this being dead in your deck without you even realizing that it'd be dead in your deck. And as Path of Ancestry, it's just a land that enters tap and add 1 mana of any color in your commander's color identity. When this mana is spent to cast a creature, it spells that shares a creature type with the commander, scry 1. So it's barely good in most tribal decks. You throw it in there because you have to, but your commander's a devil noble, and man, I think there's only like 1 or 2 devils left in here, so I just swapped that out for a spoiler alert. What did I swap that out for? I think Rogue's Passage. You know, just something that gives your creature unblockable for a turn. And it doesn't enter tapped, so it's even better. But adds a generic mana.
Yeah, I think in my head I was thinking Raphael as a demon, and so I was like, Path of Ancestry makes sense. And no, it doesn't, because there's literally, even before your cuts, I think there's gonna be 4 devils tops. So
That happened with another deck you made where your your dragon tribal deck, and then you had the Vishano.
Oh yeah, the
type that you're like, I didn't realize that wasn't a dragon.
Oh wait, hold on.
All right, so we got the hard one out of the way. I did a couple of artifacts. I got rid of Skullclamp, just because you're not really going to have that many 1/1 creatures on here to get full advantage of that, and any 1/1 creatures that you do have are going to be gone once that enchantment of yours comes out and gives everything -1/-1. Fair, so I cut it. I don't think there was enough small creatures to really warrant this. And then as far as other artifacts, just Charcoal Diamond, Fire Diamond. I don't know. I feel like it was wasting two spots, I put in two other mana reducers instead to kind of alleviate those spots, because I don't know. Mana rocks, I'm not the biggest fan of, but I'm also always mana screwed, so maybe they go hand in hand, who knows, but for now, I was like, I generally try to
not have too many, but in this instance, I was like, oh, there is some high-cost stuff, I need everything I can, so no, I agree with you on this one.
Yeah, and you have 35 lands as is, and like I said, there's a couple of mana reducers in there, so I took those out, but that's all the boring stuff. Boring stuff's out of the way. Let's go into creatures that I cut. First creature that I cut was Vexing Devil, which is one red mana for a 4/3 devil. When it enters the battlefield, any opponent may have it deal 4 damage to him or her. If a player does, sacrifice Vexing Devil. One, we're not really trying to go with the devil theme as much. And two, this thing kind of just, I don't know, it comes out, it'll deal 4 damage to something, you might gain 4 life, and then that's it. You know, you wasted a creature slot, you know, you wasted a cheap creature on just, I don't know, you play this turn 1, I'll take 4 damage turn 1. Hell, I'll take 4 damage, you know, as long as I have more than 20 health, I'll take 4 damage all day. So it didn't really seem like you were going to get as much off of that as you would like. So
a fair cut, because I mean, yeah, it's when I was going through that list, I was like, man, they're not some good devils. So I was like, let me try to find the best ones I can. And I was like, oh, one mana for a 4/3, maybe it deals 4 damage to them. So yeah.
Mm. All right, next one, Mahadi Emporium Master, generic black and a red for a cat devil. At the beginning of your end step, create a treasure token for each creature that died this turn. It's a good card if you can guarantee that a lot of stuff's dying that turn, you know, and I don't know. I thought there'd be better things out there. It's not a demon. I tried to lean more into demons, and like I said, there was a lot of demon decks I looked at that had a very strong treasure token theme, and this isn't one of them. You know, yeah, treasure tokens are nice, but I don't think there was, you know, enough other synergy with the treasure tokens to really get the full benefit of this. You know, there's not the Revelant Riches in here. There's not, you know, generic cards that say when you sacrifice a permanent, you get to do X. You know, it just, I felt like there's no need really for this in there.
That's right, yeah. Once again, the treasures, I think, was in my head was just, you know, helps get out the next big creature I want to play. So, yeah. I think, yeah, we can probably cut this one.
All right. Yeah, and like when I get into the ads later, we'll see if I added anything that kind of helps alleviate your high mana costs. Next creature I cut was Zerzoth, Chaos Rider, 2 generic and a red for a devil. Whenever an opponent draws their first card each turn, if it's not their turn, you create a 1/1 red devil creature token with when this creature dies, deals 1 damage to any target. Whenever one or more devils you control attack one or more players, you and those players each draw a card, then discard a card at random. Word soup and a half on this thing.
I think this is like the best devil that there is, and even then it's not.
Man, it's not great, so you're not really getting, I don't know, I don't even like that. Whenever an opponent draws their first card each turn, I was like, oh, okay, that's good. If it's not their turn, I was like, oh. So you have to rely on opponents drawing cards on other people's turns just to make a 1/1, you know, pinging devil. And then attacking with devils, you get to draw a card and discard the card at random. I hate discarding cards at random as too risky sometimes.
I don't put gamble in decks for a reason.
Yeah, you know, granted you have Graveyard Recursion, but I want to use Graveyard Recursion on my own terms, not because I had to pitch my Rakdos, you know, Showstopper while someone else had to discard a forest or something. So got rid of that. Let's see. Hellrider, 2 colorless, a red and a red for a 3/3 devil with haste. Whenever a creature you control attacks, Hellrider deals 1 damage to the defending player. I guess if you have a lot of creatures, this can kind of add up, but it seems like this deck is more of a go big instead of a go wide. So I wasn't sure how much value we're going to get off of it. And it's a devil. So, yeah, it'd be nice with the lifelink that you'd be pinging and getting some of that life back. But I don't know. I thought there was better cards out there.
Yeah, no, definitely. Just the devil package of this deck was not very good. So
no, and there's a couple devils I cut. Next one, Wildfire Devils, 3 colorless and a red for a 4/2 devil. When wildfire devils enter the battlefield and at the beginning of your upkeep, choose a player at random. That player exiles an instant or sorcery card from their graveyard. Copy that card. You may cast the copy without paying its mana cost. It's good as long as there's instants and sorceries flowing around.
Yeah.
But there's a... Yeah, at the beginning of your upkeep, it is nice to have that. It's not just an ETB effect, but I don't know. It's choosing a player at random, and if you're choosing someone who doesn't have a graveyard, you know, maybe someone didn't hit their ramp spells or hasn't used any removal yet, and you just keep on choosing a bad graveyard. I felt like, I don't know. How many instances of sorceries do you see this pulling from someone's graveyard? What's your... If you're playing end game,
like if I'm going full demon and only like a sprinkle of tiefling devil, I think this is one of the devils I keep. Mm-hmm. Just because if this targets like a cultivator, something like a ramp spell to help out get mana, it's also source of plowshare, path to exile, which is now a great card in my opinion.
You've been saying it for years.
You know, if it gets a removal once, I think it's worth it. I mean, yeah,
it's one of the fringe cards. You know, it could definitely go back in. I pulled it for now just because I cut a lot of the non-demon cards, and I don't like random. I feel like I just have bad luck. I feel like random cards are always going to screw me, so I'm going to be picking the guy with, you know, the empty graveyard over and over again, and just never really getting a benefit or getting cards that aren't really going to help all that much. So, but this is a fringe one. It is each upkeep, which is nice.
I might be reading it wrong, but it says choose a player at random. I think you are still count as a player. So you could technically roll a 4-sided die, hit yourself. And I mean, as you said, we have a couple sorceries instance in this area.
All right.
We could be hitting. You know what I'm saying? So that's like, I think.
Put it back in.
This is the one devil I think I will keep outside of my commander.
We'll put it in. We'll cut the land.
You got me.
All right. Yes, that one's good. The next two I cut 2 demons, which seems crazy, but I was trying to keep some of the mana curve down. One demon I cut was Burning Rune Demon, 4 colorless, a black and a black. Great ass card. I just cut it because you shouldn't be tutoring so much, man. Come on, let's have some fun.
You were telling me to cut this, but I don't remember what the deck was a few weeks ago or a few months ago where you were the one who recommended I play this card.
Yeah, it's a great card, but, you know, I'm helping you, Cody, because you said you want to tutor less. And I'm like, you know, that's a very humble ambition. And then I see you putting this card in that when Burning Rune Demon enters the battlefield, you may search your library for exactly 2 cards not named Burning Rune Demon that have different names. If you do, reveal those cards. An opponent chooses one of them. Put the chosen one in your hand and the other into your graveyard and shuffle. It's good, you know.
I think the putting one in the graveyard, and then since we have a couple of graveyard pieces to bring stuff back, that's kind of the only thing. But I, you know, but we'll see what demons
you're gonna have to sacrifice a good card though, because you know if you draw one good card and one bum card, then it'd be like, all right, the good card goes in your graveyard. You know, have fun with your 2/2 imp. Yeah, you know, so it's. You're going to have to sacrifice. You're going to want to pull 2
good ones. Yeah.
Decent cards. Yeah, so no matter what, you're putting a good creature from your deck into your graveyard. So you're going to have to be able to willingly sacrifice
one thing,
a creature.
And
so
hope I either have the recursion in hand or hit the recursion soon. Okay, that's fair. This is a fair cut.
You know, or you could use a kind of politic. It's another fringe one, though. It is a demon, so it does fit the synergy of the deck. So you could add it. Like I said, this was mostly a cut. I know for the tutoring, which, you know, I'm trying to help you. But also, it's a six cost card. Fair. So there are a lot of demon. Like, there's so many cards. Even the next card I cut is 7 mana. It's 5 colorless, a black and a red for the Balrog, Durin's Bane. You got 2 Balrogs in here.
I figured you would cut the other one.
I cut this one just...
Yeah.
Really?
Like I figured you wouldn't like the other one for the main fact that it's... where's it at? It's still 7 mana. It's just 4 generic black, red.
Yeah, well, at least that one, when it dies, you can exile it. So you can exile it. You can make everyone else exile a target creature. Or let's see. For each opponent, exile target creature. So it's good for that. But I also just like that, you know, it's an 8/8 for 7 mana. It's going to have lifelink. It has trample. It has haste. That's why I kept the other Balrog in there. But this one, the spell costs 1 less to cast for each permanent sacrifice this turn. It's not a treasure deck, so you might not have that many treasures. This is definitely one of those cards that go into a full-on treasure demon deck. So you're going to probably be paying 7 mana for a hasted 7/5. It can't be blocked except by legendary creatures, and whenever it dies, destroy target artifact or creature. I don't know. It seems like it didn't do enough to warrant a 7 cost second Balrog in the deck. I thought there was better cards that could be.
That's
right.
Yeah.
That's it with the creature cuts.
Okay.
I cut 1 Planeswalker because you had 3. Which is too
high for me.
Just to begin with.
Usually a 1 or 2 kind of guy.
Yeah, I usually have 1. Very rarely have 2. So you had 3. So I cut to Bolt, Rakish Instigator, 2 colorless and a red. Your opponents can't gain life. Which I hate.
I was like, is this the reason you cut it? Because you have a life gain deck?
Yeah. And then -2, it's to create a 1/1 devil creature token that pings for 1 damage when it dies. So not enough synergy there with the devil creature tokens, and it's a planeswalker that you can only use twice.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's only the negative ability on it, and it starts with 5 loyalty counters. So it's one of the War of the Spark planeswalkers, which I love just for the fact that they have static effects. But I don't know. This one doesn't seem worth a spot in the deck.
Sure.
It fits with the theme. It's definitely a flavor win, but that's about all it is. And let's see. I think all that's left are instants. I just cut a couple of instants. Chaos Warp, just because you already had a decent amount of removal in the deck. Thrill of Possibility. You had several cards that were drawing you cards, Never enough card draw, I know. But so I cut those two. And then Dance with the Devils. 3 colorless and a red. Create 2 1/1 red devil creature tokens that when they die, they ping. That just...
If we're going towards demons, yeah.
Not good enough. Fair. If you're going towards demons, then yeah, I would have these ones in there. I would keep the Skull Clamp in there. I would, you know, kind of be able to do that, but you need a different commander because you can't Skull Clamp the tokens that you're making because they're going to be 2/2s, which I've run into that problem with, what deck? It my rat deck. I have a Skull Clamp in there so I could go through some rats, and as soon as I get one of my Anthem effects on there and they're all 2/2s, I'm like, well,
worthless.
This is a dead card.
So. And Chaos Warp, there's a lot of good Rakdos removal, and so
and you had a lot of them already, so that's why I was kind of
the Hurl Through Hell, Fire Covenant technically, Terminate
Terminate, Bedevil.
Yeah.
Hurl Through Hell. And did I add any too? I'm not sure if I added a creature removal. No, it doesn't look like
Swarm.
It. But you had a lot of stuff.
So that's fair.
All right. So the hard part's over. Any removals that you It kind of hurt you? No, I think two of the demons. Or one demon. Burning Room Demon and what is it? The Chaos Rider? Zerzoth?
I think the Balrog I might keep and the Wildfire Devils, but all the other ones I think I'm pretty on board with.
Okay.
Just because, yeah, I think we're going full demon theme for this deck, so mm-hmm. cutting as much of the other support makes sense if we're going full demon. I think if we're gonna put any others, we're gonna keep like the good ones like Wildfire and Elturel and Karlok. So yeah, that makes sense. And then I like the okay. Balrogs. I'm a Lord of the Rings nut. What can I say?
I couldn't tell. All right, so the cuts I think were warranted, but now we got room for some sexy ass cards, Cody. So I'll let you pick. What do you want to start with? You want to start with creatures, sorceries, artifacts, enchantments?
Let's do the creatures. Let's go over these because there's a couple in here I like, and I bummed I missed.
All right. So I had cut. Let's see. So I cut 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So I cut 7 creatures. I added 4. Yeah. So you definitely have some room to, you know, to take some of the, you said like 1 or 2 of those creatures that I cut to put them back in there. But for now, some of the cards that I did add is, start with the first one, Reaper from the Abyss. 3 colorless, black, for a flying 6/6. At the beginning of each end step, if a creature died this turn, destroy target non-demon creature. I think this is good because you're going to have a 7/7 flying lifelink creature, and at the beginning of each end step, if a creature died, so even if it's not your turn, if 2 other people are going at it and any creature dies or anyone sacrifices a token for whatever reason, you get to destroy a creature. So this is just something great that's going to be out there that you're hopefully going to be able to use this as removal. And like I said, it's not even your turn. I was surprised. I reread this a couple times because usually something like this would be, you know, at the beginning of your end step if a creature died. No, at the beginning of each end step. So this card I thought was fantastic. So that one made it in there. Next one, Sower of Discord. I really like this card just because it's so annoying and it happens to be a demon. 4 colorless and a black for a 6/6 flying demon. As Sower of Discord enters the battlefield, choose 2 players. Whenever damage is dealt to one of the chosen players, the other chosen player also loses that much life. This is a way to speed up games and to clear out multiple players at once. Man. Just pick 2 people. If one person doesn't have flyers, they're like, all right, I'm swinging all out. I'm naming them and I'm naming the one person who has creatures that can block or has, you know, a ghostly prison up so I can't, you know, swing it, whatever the case. And just it lets you kind of sneak around defenses. So this is a fun card. And it's a demon. You're going to have a 7/7 flying creature. So
this with like and it's whenever Descent into Avernus because it'll... Oh, would that go infinite? Because it's Descendant Avernus deals infinite damage to everybody, but then it would see the 2 players taking damage, deal it to the other person, and then it would just go... I have to look into that. That might be like a little kill 2 people instantly kind of thing.
Let's see. At the beginning of your upkeep, put 2 Descent counters on Descent into Avernus. Then each player creates X treasure tokens, and Descent into Avernus deals X damage to each player, where X is the number of Descent counters. So if it has
just
2 counters on it, then they'll lose 2, and then the other person loses 2. But then
would Sower of Discord see that and then just keep going back and forth? Or I guess because it's happening at the same time.
I don't think it goes back and forth.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
You're double dipping damage to multiple players all at once, kind of turning it into a sneaky group slug deck. So
okay,
but Sower Discord, I thought that was a cool card.
Very good.
All right, man, Pestilence Demon, it's 8 mana.
Yeah,
but lots of expense. Like I said, man, I screwed up your mana curve, but I added some other stuff. We'll go into it. Pestilence Demon, 5 colorless, black, 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 for a flying 7/6. You can pay a black, and it deals 1 damage to each creature and each player. This one you can cut.
Oh, I'm not. I like this one a lot because if Raphael is on the board,
yep,
and you pay that black, mm-hmm, and it deals 1 damage to everything, that's all lifelink.
To each creature.
So yeah,
it's each creature and each player, and it's not, you don't have to tap to do it, so you can kind of get a little bit of a mana sink, but it is 8 mana. So 8 mana for an, if Raphael's out, it's going to be an 8/7 flying. But yeah, like you said, if he's out, you have that lifelink, deals 1 damage to each creature and each player. So even your own, you'll be able to stock life, up on a bunch of life.
I like that. So, that's cool.
You like that one? All right. The last creature, which I was surprised you didn't have this one, because I love this card. Villis, Broker of Blood. Another 8 mana card. 5 colorless, black, black, black. Flying, you can pay a black and 2 life. Give target creature -1/-1 till end of turn. Not really necessary. And then it also has, whenever you lose life, draw that many cards. This is great just because you have so many cards that just randomly have ping effects in it, or creatures dying that have ping effects in it. So you can just keep pinging yourself and losing 1 life, drawing 1 card. And so this is kind of a good way to draw cards sneakily. Yeah. Is just by ping, you know, choosing yourself for all these, you know, I hate deal 1 damage to target player. I feel like it doesn't do enough. It really doesn't. But with this, yeah, just make it so you're that one player. Keep pinging yourself for 1 for all these little creatures, and you don't care because you're gaining life no matter what. And then you just get to draw a lot of cards, hopefully. So those are all the expensive ass creatures I put into your deck.
I like a lot of them. I don't know why, but in my head, like, Villis, Broker of Blood is very... I'm trying to remember. I think I saw, like, a video of someone getting hit, and they decked themselves somehow. And, like, I don't know. Ever since I saw that, I was like, I don't know about this one. So...
I guess that is true. If someone hits you for 30 damage and you have to draw 30 cards, it'd be rare.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I wouldn't mind the card draw. Hey, you know what? Instead of Rogue's Passage, put a Reliquary Tower in there, and you get to keep all those cards.
But yeah, no, really good creatures add. Pestilence Demon, I think, is my favorite nerd behind Sower of Discord, for sure.
All right. And I'm trying to look real quick, too, because I wanted to make a note of it, and I forgot to. Look at this. Blood Gift Demon, beginning of your upkeep, target player draws a card, then loses 1 life, so you can just have yourself... losing a life and all this stuff. I think there's a lot that you can do with that. But where's that other creature you had that makes it so your demons are 2 less to cast? Didn't you have
Herald of Slaanesh.
Herald of... whatever. But yeah, so I know that you had the other creature that gave you cheaper cost of demons, and then you also have that enchantment that makes all your creatures that you creature spells you cast cost 2 less to cast, your Heartless Summoning, you have that. So to kind of add to the theme, now that we kind of picked a tribe, I picked Urza's Incubator. So price has dropped down so much on that, thankfully. So 3 colorless for an artifact, enters, choose a creature type, demons, creature spells of the chosen type cost 2 less to cast.
You said it dropped in price, and I'm still looking at it being $24, and I'm like,
Yes, that dropped in price. I remember that card was up to, what, like $60 maybe 2 months ago. Yeah. Yeah, and then they reprinted it twice. I think,
in the most recent set, right? in Commander Masters, and then I think in Brothers War.
What was it? Yeah, something like that. So it did drop like $40 within the past 2 months, so I'm counting it as a price drop. Plus this deck, you had this deck at like under $200 bucks.
A lot of cheap shit.
Well, lots of cheap stuff. So I didn't feel so bad about putting a $24 card in there, especially if it's going to help. Too cheaper to cast, and this is a great card. This is one of the first cards I bought when I first started building decks, because I was like, it's going to go in every deck, because obviously every deck I build is going to be tribal. Yeah. You know, so this was one of those cards that was the IOU in my Angels deck, you know, an IOU in Urza's Incubator in my Rats deck. IOU was in my, I had one other, a Vampire deck. This, my copy of Urza's Incubator has moved around a couple times. So I have that in there. Vanquisher's Banner, since we finally were able to kind of hammer down one tribe. So five colorless, enters battlefield, choose demons. Creatures chosen type get +1/+1. And whenever you cast a demon spell, then you get to draw a card. Just good card draw. Be lots of fun. Since you do get some residual life gain in this deck, I put Bolas Citadel in there. Because I love Bolas Citadel, and any card that has any type of net positive life gain, I try to sneak this into. Just three colorless, black, black, black. I'll go quick. Most people know what this one does. You may look at the top card of your library at any time. You may play lands and cast spells from the top of your library by paying life equal to mana value rather than mana cost. And you could tap it, sack 10 non-land permanents. Each opponent loses 10 life. I don't see that happening too much. But this is just going to be great for those turns where you happen to randomly get 20 extra life and you don't feel so bad about trying to rip through your deck and all these 6, 7, 8 cost demons, you're able to just pay life instead of their actual casting cost. So I think this will kind of, hopefully, if you're able to get this out, be able to get some of these demons out without paying their mana costs, just by paying life, which is an additional resource in this deck at this point.
Yeah, when you first showed me the cuts and adds, I saw this and I was like, I really don't like that. And then I thought about it and I was like, there are a lot of high cost demons. Yeah, fuck that. I'd rather pay 7 life than have to get the mana figured out.
Pay 7. Yeah, well, especially when there's so many ways where you're just gaining. Just like I said, residual life gain. There's life gain is not a win con in this deck.
It's just a bonus.
So it's just a bonus. It's bonus of you're able to take a couple more hits, and it's also going to be a bonus where you're able to pay some of those, you know, X cost spells, and you're able to go through Bolas Citadel without, you know, without really having to worry about, oh, I happen to draw 2 8 cost demons back to back. Yeah, I'll pay 16 life because I just gained 20 life, and now these guys are out there and I have more flying lifelink trample demons going out. So I think Bolas Citadel is a great add in any deck that kind of has a net positive life gain in it. So this next one is, I added it because it's so cool and it fits the flavor, but this is definitely something that can not be added if you're looking for room. But this is Elbrus, the Binding Blade. It's legendary artifact equipment, 7 colorless, very expensive. None of your damage reducer, your mana reducers are going to really affect this, which sucks. But equipped creature gets +1/+0. Whenever equipped creature deals combat damage to a player, unattach Elbrus, the Binding Blade, and transform it. So it's 7 to cast, it's 1 to equip, and whenever it deals combat damage to a player, you get to flip it, and it turns into Withengar Unbound, which is a 13/13 flying intimidate trample demon. So you have your flying, you got your trample, it's a 13/13. If your commander's out there, it's going to be a 14/14 with lifelink. And it has, whenever a player loses the game, put 13/1/1 counters on Withengar Unbound. So it's not even this creature killing a player and making them lose the game. It's not during your turn. This can just be out there. And if someone else kills someone else, or two people happen to die in one turn, you're getting 26 counters.
Yeah.
You know, you'll get 13 counters. And it's a demon, so you're going to have the lifelink on there. It has Intimidate. It can only be blocked by black creatures or artifact creatures. And it's got Trample, so even if someone does have a flyer, you know, if this was out there for one person losing, I doubt they have enough of a flyer to block a 26/26 Trample. So this card, it is very expensive to get out, and it's not going to get cheaper unless you're able to Bolas Citadel it out or something. But I liked it. I thought it was cool. And the fact that it's also a demon, so it gets the lifelink. You know, it didn't even have to be a demon, and I would still think it's a cool card.
I think we're going to keep it. I think it's just like hey, if I get to do this once, it's worth it.
It's blood for the blood god. If it happens one time, hey, remember that time I played that one equipment that turned into a 26-26 flying Intimidate Trample Demon? That was awesome. All right. That's it for the artifact ads.
Some good ads.
And then I just have three enchantments. I'll start with Phyrexian Arena. At the beginning of your upkeep, draw a card, lose a life. You have the extra life. Might as well use it. Plus, you lose one life, which is going to help some of these other cards where if you're the one losing life, you get to draw extra cards or get extra abilities. So it kind of helps there. And it's just card draw. Card draw takes advantage of your extra life, and you're able to use it to your advantage if you ping yourself, you know, when you ping yourself. So I thought it was a easy ad. Next one, Sanguine Bond. Three colorless, black and a black. Whenever you gain life, target opponent loses that much life. You're going to be gaining a lot of life. This is just like that demon that spreads the damage between two players. This, you can be hitting someone that's not even involved. Yeah. You know, you swing all in at someone, kill them, it deals the damage to the other player, you gain all that life, and you just swing it at the third person. It's a lot of fun. If you want, you can add the infinite combo in there with the exquisite blood. Exquisite blood. I'm not a fan of the two-card infinites, but that's whenever an opponent loses life, you gain that much life. It goes infinite. As soon as one person loses a life, you can just kind of go infinite around the board. So the options there, if your playgroup doesn't mind infinite combos and stuff like that. But I left it out. Just why not? And then the last enchantment I added was Mark of the Oni, which is two colorless and a black. Enchant creature. You control enchanted creature. At the end of turn, if you control no demons, sacrifice Mark of the Oni. I thought this was a really cool way to steal someone's creature and pretty much guarantee that you're going to have control of it until they can remove the creature or remove this enchantment. Because you're always going to have demons out there. You might as well have a card that, you know, gives you a little bit of a benefit for keeping those demons. It seemed cheap enough, and it's a fun way to steal someone's big threat. Just like, all right, I'm going to steal it, and I'm keeping it until you get rid of my demons or kill your own creature or something. So
yeah, I like that a lot.
Those are my ads, Cody. That's what I decided to add.
I like it a lot. I like the Sanguine Bond because it's another, like, life gain is just a bonus of this deck, but it gives it kind of a payoff with, like, if we can assemble, like, a Pestilence Demon pinging everything for 20, we're throwing 20 somewhere kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, I like those.
So, those are my ads. And the Rogue's Passage, which I mentioned earlier.
Your sorceries.
Is our Rogue's Passage.
Got your sorceries what? You never went over.
Oh, did I miss sorceries? Oh, I missed sorceries.
Son of a, I was wondering. Bitch.
Had that. Uh-oh, where'd the rest go? All right, sorceries, real quick. I apologize. Fix it in post, you know.
Cody, do this work for me.
Yeah. Vandal Blast. Destroy target artifact you don't control for one red, or you can overload it for 5 mana and just target each artifact that you don't control. Just board wipe. Might as well have it. I know I took a... Or not board wipe, but artifact removal is kind of help. Just it's going to help more than it hurts. The next one was, let's see, Reign of the Pit. 4 colorless, a black and a black. Each player sacrifices a creature. Create an XX black demon creature token with flying, where X is the total power of the creature's sacrifice this way. I like this because, well, one, it's a demon, so you're going to get all the perks from that. But then it's each player sacrifices a creature, not each opponent. So even if people are like, all right, you know, take my 1/1 elf, take my, you know, this crappy Bird of Paradise or something where you don't get anything, you're able to just be like, all right, I'm going to sacrifice my 9/9 demon, or, you know, because you're getting it right back. You're getting that plus the other ones for a black demon that's going to be lifelinked and whatever shenanigans you can do with it. So I thought this was a kind of a cool way to, not really a board wipe, but just creature removal. And it's sacrificed too, so it gets around a lot of like the protections that some creatures have. So it seemed like a fun one. And then the last card, the real last card I added, is Haunting Voyage. A little expensive. 4 colorless, a black and a black for a sorcery. Choose a creature type. Return up to two creature cards of that type from your graveyard to the battlefield. If the spell was foretold, return all creature cards of that type from your graveyard to the battlefield instead. So this has, you can foretell it for 7. It also has, you have that other card in here that you're, you know, able to foretell. No, that wouldn't work. But yeah, you can foretell this and just kind of leave it out there on the board until there's a huge board wipe or something. And then you could just one-sided bring all your demons back. I was going to add that one card. I forgot what it is that each player
returned. I was just going to say, I was like, type. I like this over Patriarch's Bidding.
Binding. Binding, whatever it is. Yeah, because this is one-sided if you, if you're able to foretell it. That's why I picked this over that card, because I did see that one too to add, but I liked this one better, just very one-sided. But it's a little expensive.
I like this one a lot. Yeah, I'd never seen this card before, so like, I'm glad you showed it to me, because it's really good for tribal themed decks. Yeah, because Patriarch's Bidding, the downside is that like everyone gets to pick, and so like you play a lot of tribal themed decks. We have dragons, dinosaurs running wild in our playgroup, so Patriarch's Bidding kind of the downside of, well, everyone else is also going to get stuff back. This is very one-sided, and there's, like I said, a lot of ways to get cards in the graveyard in red and black, so getting all those back for 7 I think is really worth it. I also like Reign of the Pit, very good, because, you may be sacrificing your mana dorks, but I'm going to get rid of my Balrog and exile it, and then each opponent's going to exile something on top of you sacking something, and now I'm going to have a huge, like, 12-12 flying lifelink. Vandal Blast.
Lifelink Demon.
I have been cutting Vandal Blast a lot lately because I've found it to be a dead card. Just because, like, either, mainly in our playgroup. I think Vandal Blast can be good in a playgroup where you see a lot of artifacts. It's just, like, I don't want to blow up Mana Rocks because I feel like that's unfun for people. And then there's not that many, like, people in our group playing artifacts that are, like, really treasures, yeah. Which they can, so they just crack them, but they still don't get the benefit of them. Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
If someone's got 20 treasure tokens that they crack so they don't get destroyed and it's not their turn and they'll have instants and flash, they'll be like, all right. But at least clearing that stuff out. I don't know. I just felt I didn't see a lot of, artifact removal in the deck. Fair, yeah. So I try to keep everything honest. You know, that's why I'll always throw a Vajuku Bog in there, just keep graveyards honest. I'll like a Vandal Blast, or I'll make sure I have something. I play a lot of white, so there's just lots of options of, destroy all artifacts or destroy all enchantments. But I like to always have access, because sometimes, there's so many different types of decks, and sometimes there's an interaction that just really gives you a problem that you just never anticipated. Like, man, I'm really getting screwed here because this guy's pulling everything from his graveyard, or I'm really getting screwed because he has a loop where he's just making infinite, artifacts, infinite treasure tokens, infinite thopters, or whatever the case. So kind of nice to be able to keep something honest. And it's one-sided too. It's not all artifacts, right? Make a cast spell of overload, target to each. Yeah, so destroy each artifact you don't control. So it doesn't really hurt you anyway. Yeah. So I like it. Get rid of someone else's Urza's Incubator and Bolas Citadel so they can't pull the same shenanigans that you're trying to do. Only I'm allowed to get that.
Yeah. So some really good ads here. I like them a lot.
I'm glad.
I definitely think refining this deck and going pure, like, not trying to fit all four types in.
There's not a way to do it because the other tribes support it. You could do it, but the power level of the deck would just drop to such a level. I was even reading an article, I think Channel Fireball, they had an article about one of their guys making this deck, and pretty much the only way that they were able to make it work is by loading up with just cheap tieflings and imps and devils and stuff, just to kind of get you to the end game where you can start playing these demons. And I was like, I don't feel like going through all that. I think a better way to use this commander is make stuff as cheap as possible, hopefully, or find ways to cheat them out and just go full demons. You might have a a slow start for the first three or four turns, but once you get going, I think you're going to be able to keep it going and being able to just throw your, you know, not have to worry about leaving up blockers, because you'd rather just throw them out there, deal the damage, get the lifelink, have them go to your graveyard, and find a way to pull them out afterwards. Yeah. So I think that method would work a lot better than you just having all these throwaway 1-1 and 2-2 creatures at the bottom of the mana curve. Yeah. But it might fail terribly. Who knows?
Only one way to find out. Okay.
All right. So that's the deck, Cody. What are you thinking?
I'm liking it a lot. I do think I want to go full demons with it. I like the Liliana's Contract as like a kind of other way to win.
Love that. Love that hidden. You know, I know we mentioned it at the beginning of the game, but beginning of the podcast. But I'm gonna read it again just because it is such a fun way to win. Where is that? Is that enchantment? Yeah. When it enters the battlefield, draw 4 cards, lose 4 life. Beginning of your upkeep, if you control 4 or more demons with different names, you win the game. Now you don't have to worry about, oh, I only have 3 different demons and then 4 devils and 2 tieflings out. You don't have to worry about any of that. For the most part, this is all demons. It's going to, if you have 4 creatures out, you're going to have 4, you know, 4 different ones. So it's just going to be trying to sneak this in there and have it last a 1 turn around the board. But I love Liliana's Contract. It's a little hidden wooden con in this.
So yeah, I think the deck looks really good. So I guess the question now becomes, should I say brew it or screw it?
And
we're going to brew it. This is a fun deck.
We're going to brew it.
I've been wanting a Rakdos deck, and I think with going full demons, which is like the little sprinkles of the good stuff of the other ones, I think, you know, we're there. I think we have some really good stuff here.
All right. I wasn't sure if you're going to want to brew it, because like I said, it's not a pinging deck, and it doesn't complete either of the two things that you said you wanted to, where you like that there's 4 different tribes for a tribal commander, and there's going to be kind of a Rakdos aristocrats deck. There's no aristocrats in it at all. You're not really sacrificing any of your own stuff. You got little pingers here and there, but that's not part of the deck. And now it's only demons. So it's not what you set out for, but I think it's, you know, kind of turned into something a lot more viable to play.
I think it's the thing is like, I just want a Rakdos aggressive, hits hit hard, and this does that because, I mean, they're big demons, and I'm getting the life gain. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, like, cheeky things I can do, like, say, with Liliana's Contract. There's the Pestilence Demon being able to ping a bunch of stuff, Sanguine Bond, things like that. I think this is a deck that's going to be a lot of fun, and I think I think I want to stick to 2 colors. I've been trying a lot of 3 colors, and I know there's like the Grixis new demon, but I don't really think there's that many blue demons that would really add anything.
I don't think there are really, so that's a very weird weird deck that they had there.
So I definitely think this is a deck that's going to be a lot of fun. It also just feels like I got a lot of pet cards in here, and they fit and they do cool stuff.
And I didn't cut any of your pet cards going through, so it's I cut them.
And we have we talked about it on my recent brew review. We're going for like a Slimefoot aristocrat, so I kind of got my aristocrat theme going on there, so I don't really need that from this. Let's just make this demon themed, swing some big old,
this is your demon tribal deck,
big old flying demons hitting stuff and gaining me life.
I'm a bad influence on you, Cody. Now all your decks can start turning
into
tribal decks.
I got a human
slowly.
Deck over here. I got a knight deck over here. I mean, I'm just going to have...
They're so much fun. I don't know what... And our friend Nick's like, no, tribal's boring. I'm like, how is it boring? It's one, it's very easy because you're like, I'm doing an elf tribal. Here are the elf cards. But two, it's just fun. I love when there's synergy. And man, there's no easier synergy than tribal decks. It's just, you know, there's definitely other synergy out there. But I'm very simple, you know. Angels are one less to cast. All right, let's get a bunch of angels, and they're all going to be one less to cast now. Angels get +1/+1. All right, my angels are bigger. Like, it's just very, a lot less work than, all right, well, this makes, you know, this token, and when that token comes in, it triggers this other enchantment, and when that doubles, I'm able to, it's like, no, all right, you lost me. I want all angels have lifelink. Like, we're in business. So, no, I started this off by thinking that this was probably not going to be a brew, just because it didn't hit either of the marks that you wanted it to, but it seems like you've kind of settled, and not settled, but landed on the new archetype here, and you like what it has to offer.
I think, yeah, I mean, I think I had told you when I sent it to you, I was like, my only question, I think, for you is, should this just be all demons? Because trying to fit, it's a thing we've talked about for the past like 2 months. When you do too many things, you don't do the one thing good. If we just focus on demons, that's the thing we're doing good. The life gain payoffs is just a bonus. And so,
yeah, and I love life gain. So I really was trying to make this, you know, have some life gain payoffs. And that it just, in order to have the big life gain payoff decks, you need to gain a lot of life. And, you know, this one's going to definitely have bursts, but I think whatever life that you are able to gain is going to immediately be very needed, because you're, yeah, there's not a lot of vigilance on some of these guys. So you are going to be turning sideways and leaving yourself open, and you're going to kind of have to rely on, all right, well, I'm showing 18 damage out, and the person I'm attacking is only showing 10 damage out. So I'm going to swing all out at them, and even if they crack back at me,
or even,
you know, I'm still net 8 life. So it's, you're going to be gaining a lot of life, but I think you're going to be clicking your life total on spell table a lot while playing this, because it's going to be going up and down nonstop. So. But it definitely seems like a fun deck.
I also have to call out the beautiful Justine Jones alternate art for Raphael that, like, really sold me on this guy, because, like, it is so sick looking. So
it's very
cool. I like her. She did that Ur-Dragon alt one that was on the secret layer. Yeah, she does a lot of really good art. So I am sold on this one. So, yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's a brew. We're gonna brew it.
Look at that.
I'm excited.
We're gonna brew it.
I guess I gotta start getting some more decks, because currently I have 4 playable ones, and they're the night one is not long for this world, I think.
Yeah, that sucks. I bought that pre-con. I just never sleeved it up.
It's fun.
So I should probably just sleeve it up.
Yeah, honestly.
I think I even bought some of the upgrades and stuff, and then. That's around the time we started doing the show, so I had a sudden influx of new decks I was messing around with.
It's a fun deck. It's just, you know, it runs into my problem with 3-color, where if your mana screwed, there's a lot of, like, knights that cost, like, 2 white-white, 2 blue-blue, 2 black-black, and it's like, fuck. But, yeah.
I forgot to shout out one more card, too. I wanted to make note of this one. It's a land. That's why I forgot about it, because it's all tucked away back there. The Westvale Abbey that you put in there. That card is so cool. It's Westvale Abbey, a land. Tap to add a colorless. You can pay 5 and tap it to pay a life, create a white and black human token. Or you can pay 5, sacrifice 5 creatures, and transform this. And when you transform it, the artwork is awesome on the secret layer. You get... Ormondal Profane Prince. It's a 9/7 flying lifelink, indestructible haste demon. Just synergies there. It's a random land card. I love random lands.
Another one of those cards where if I do it once, that's all I need.
Screw doing it once, man. You keep this card in there just because you never know if you have somehow you have creatures that you're willing to sacrifice, or you know that you're holding in hand. You know, that other card where you're able to bring back all your demons, be like, all right, I'm going to swing out. Then I'm going to play this, sacrifice all those creatures. You can even do that at instant speed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, 5 and tap, sack. So, you know, even if you're swinging and, you know, they're about to all die, you can still sack them. Or if you're using them to block and they're going to die anyway, you can just sack them and transform this and have a real badass demon at the end. So. Westvale Abbey was definitely a very cool land.
Like it a lot. That secret lair is really good art. All right. So, yeah, we got to brew it in the book. I was also kind of worried coming into it. I was like, I don't know if I want to build this deck, but I'm sold. Demon, yeah.
You're
demon
sold now? All right. Listeners are going to start getting restless that we keep brewing every single deck that we talk about. I'm going to have to lay up a real stinker next month.
Yeah, I think we've only had one.
It's my shitty Imp Tribal deck. That's what I'm building next month.
Technically, I had episode 2 was Screw It for me, and then I had the Selesnya humans, but I'm now doing Jeskai humans instead, so I kind of didn't brew that one. So yeah, but yours have all been brewed. But you build stuff you like. You know you're gonna like it. So
that's the problem. I need to start doing random commander like on EDH Rec. I think if I'm gonna and actually try to sell myself, because that's a problem I'm having with the podcast. It's like, well, I'm gonna pick a commander that looks good to me, you know. I'm not gonna pick some shitty looking commander and then be like, oh man, I can't believe this shitty commander is not fun. But I don't know, maybe next time I'll do like 10 EDH random commanders.
I mean, technically you have a retroactive Screw It in Jared Garthalion, True Air.
Shit, man. I would go back in time. Yeah, how about that? That deck is gone.
Three for six at this point. So that's not bad.
We'll take it.
All right. Before we go, we talked at the start about a giveaway we're doing where, when we started doing this podcast, I don't think either of us really imagined we would hit over 500 plays in a year. So the fact that we're over 700, closing in on 800, and every time we say that number, by the time we actually get to the episode releasing, we're like way past it. So hell yeah. Thank you guys.
It's amazing.
Thank you guys so much for listening. So we want to give back. Commander Masters is just released as the time of recording this. And there's a lot of people who can't afford to do it because, the pre-cons are $80, I think, 100 at some places.
Ridiculous.
It kind of sucks that people are kind of not able to get it. So we're going to be giving away the Eldrazi Unbound pre-con. And so we're going to be running the giveaway on Twitter and Instagram. So if you want to go to those, you just got to like and retweet or like and comment on Instagram. And in like a month or two, we're going to call it out. Be like, hey, this is the last episode before the giveaway ends. And then we're going to do it and we'll ship it to you. I will ship it anywhere. No problem. Wherever you live in Europe, it'll hopefully get there safely. But we'll get it done. We want to get back. So, because thank you guys so much, really.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, it's amazing. Like you said, every time we talk about like, oh man, I think we're going to, pass 600 listens this month. And then by the time we record, it's like, all right, we're almost at 800. So it's just going up exponentially. And it's very, and I did a podcast and it was one of those things where you record a podcast for three of your friends that will listen to it. So there was no feedback or anything like that. But this is kind of nice seeing which episodes seem to be listened to more. And kind of it's very fun to see that people are listening so much and listening to different episodes. So yeah, we were able to get or Cody was able to get the Eldrazi pre-con. We're like, let's absolutely give that away because the prices for those things are ridiculous. Yeah. Even the shop by me is doing draft night. It's like $50 buy-in to do a draft. I'm like, I'm not spending $50 to do a draft for that. So but we'll post up the details on Twitter, on the Instagram. I know Twitter or X
now, yes.
Okay. That's X. Stupid. I think that's gonna be retweets and Instagram, I guess.
Yeah, comments, and then we'll throw all the names into a big sorter on the internets and get it decided.
So we'll ship it out wherever it goes, because apparently we have listeners in other countries, which is also fun to see on the thing. It's like, why are so many people in Germany listening to our podcast?
Thank you again. So that's going to be Twitter is at Brew It or Screw It. And our Instagram is Brew It or Screw It MTG. And then if you want to reach out to us by email, if you have anything you want to say about the deck or you just want to ask a question or you have an idea for a deck Laz should brew for next month.
Absolutely. I didn't start it yet.
Brew It or Screw It at gmail.com. So yeah. Those are ways you can reach out to us.
And you can always And you can always comment on the podcast. You know, make sure you like, you subscribe, you tell your friends, steal strangers' phones and like and subscribe on their phones. It's always a popular method of getting more popular. So by all means, hit the buttons, do the things.
Yeah.
And just know that we really appreciate it. So feel free to join in on that little giveaway thing, and maybe you'll get a nice Eldrazi pre-con out of it too. Yeah. So
we post the links to the Moxfield for the deck in every description. You can also follow us on Moxfield. I should really get a Brewed or Screw It one together and like throw all of our decks up there. But for now, I'm Cody Redmoon on Moxfield. Laz is Soko_Amaretto. We'll have links to those in the description as well.
We'll have links, and hopefully we'll make a because I have two versions of every deck. I have the pre-episode version and the post-episode version, so it might be easier to kind of just
get the post-episode and throw them in the Moxfield. On the Brewed or Screw It on Moxfield.
All right, so we'll do
that. You can follow on Moxfield. You can comment on Moxfield. The whole cool site over there. Go check them out. We love Moxfield.
Yeah.
Helps out deck building a ton.
Absolutely.
You can see all 9 million decks that I've brewed constantly. So, yeah.
All right. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody.
Thank you guys so much. And until next time, should we say brew it?
Or screw it?
It's a brew.
It's a brew. It's never a screw.